Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 7th of November, 2011. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. We had a lovely time in Santa Fe where the snowflakes were swirling. And the question of the day is always, is it going to be red or green chilies for you? Our thanks to Tom Collier for sitting behind this microphone for me on Thursday and Friday. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big shout out to our simulcast partners, our friends up in Gila County and Globe. Listen to the show on KJAA AM 1240. And in Cochise County, they listen on KAPR AM 930. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming at buckmastershow.com along with archiving our previous programs. Plus, there are now plenty of places where you can hear the program anytime. Of course, one of them is the Buckmaster Show website, and the show can be heard at TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service, and thanks to a new agreement that was finalized last week with the Tucson Citizen, the Buckmaster Show is available 24/7 at TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today's lineup, our Monday political face-off with our team of commentators. Each team believes they are the A-team, and today's commentators are Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. It's election week in the city of Tucson. We'll get to the last-minute takes from Mr. Ash and Mr. Eckerstrom. At 30 minutes past the hour, a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show, live line 790-2040, or toll-free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring one of our two teams of commentators. This week it is Bruce Ash. He is the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, and he is the current vice chair of the local Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging service, and he has some beautiful hanging systems there. Well, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Now time for the political face-off. Tomorrow is Election Day in the city of Tucson, the city's first ever all-male election. And, of course, at stake, the mayor's race. And we have a Ward 1, Ward 2, and Ward 4 seats available. Paul Eckerstrom, we begin with you. Good idea, this all-male elections. Do you like it? Will it improve turnout, do you think?
Yeah, I think we're on track. Everything I can see, that we're going to have a record turnout for city elections, the highest ever. And I think that's a good thing for our democracy. The more people that participate, the better. And it certainly is going to be helpful to the Democrats, because normally Democrats don't turn out in as high a number as Republicans in these kind of off-year elections in the city. But this year, the Democrats are behind in actual turnout percentage to the Republicans by about 2.5 points, which is different than in past elections, where it usually runs about behind about 8 percentage points in terms of percentage turnouts on either side. That's why Republicans have in the past been able to do pretty well in a Democratic town like Tucson. So I think the higher turnout is going to help the Democratic candidates.
And Mr. Ash?
Well, as Paul said, Republican turnout is outpacing Democrats. However, there is a remarkable number of independent and PND voters, party not disclosed voters, who have rarely voted in the past, who have shown up in large numbers for this election. This is a difficult thing to predict with the all mail-in ballot. I suspect we're going to overall have more people vote in this election. I'm not sure it's just because of all mail-in ballot. I think it's more just out of personal interest in making sure that their views are represented better for them at City Hall.
Yeah, the best ever city turnout, Paul Ekstrom, was about 41% in 1999. Yep. So it looks like this will surpass that, the all-male election.
Yeah, we'll see how much higher, but it's definitely going to surpass it. And I'd also say that, independents are voting in larger numbers than they ever voted for in the city election. And I think that's a good thing as well. We need more participation by the independents in the races. The way it looks like, if you have crossover votes among Democrats and Republicans splitting about even, that for the Democrats to lose, you'd have to get about 75 – the Republican would have to get about 75% of the independents. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
Paul Ekstrom and Bruce Ash with me on the Monday Political Face-Off. And we'll put a plug in here for our friend John C. Scott. He will be hosting the KVOI election night coverage. And that will be tomorrow night. And, of course, Bruce and Paul will be joining John Scott, among others, talking about how the vote went. So now let's put you gentlemen on the spot in the mayor's race. Bruce Ash, beginning with you, the Democrat attorney Jonathan Rothschild facing Republican business consultant Rick Grinnell and the Green Party challenger Mary DeCamp. Who wins that one?
I think it's too close to call right now. I've seen polling that would suggest that we're right in the margin of error. The Republicans have put forth a blistering barrage against Jonathan. Probably the most effective is his comments on Arizona Illustrated that his firm hadn't taken on any new cases in the last few years. And the graphics show that his firm since 2009 had billed about $845,000. That's a very effective ad against somebody. You know, people don't like lawyers. No offense, Paul Ekstrom, but they don't like lawyers.
He was in court this morning.
And they don't like lawyers. Right. And they don't like lawyers, you know, who send out bills. And I think that's probably been, one of the more effective attacks on Jonathan Rothschild between that and the interests that he represents.
Okay, too close to call from Bruce Ash. Paul Ekstrom?
I'm going to say
the attorney, Paul Ekstrom.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a double-digit win, 10 to 12 points over Rick Grinnell. I mean, Rick Grinnell is the person that proposed picking up the trash every 2 weeks. He's the person that sent out emails to city employees on work time asking for money, which was illegal. I just don't see the public going for Rick Grinnell. And Jonathan is a pro-business Democrat that's kind of a more moderate viewpoint on things. I think he fits the city perfectly. He's going to win going away.
Do the Democrats sweep, Paul Ekstrom? We have the Democrat incumbent Raheena Romero in Ward 1 facing a Green Party hopeful Burl Baker. Ward 2, Democrat Paul Cunningham, appointed to his seat in 2010. He faces Republican Jennifer Rawson. And in Ward 4, Shirley Scott is defending her 16-year record against Republican engineer Tyler Vogt. Any upsets as you see them, Paul Ekstrom?
I don't. I see. Well, of course, Raheena's going to win pretty easily because there's no Republican in the race. Paul Cunningham should win very easily, too, because he was appointed to that position. He hasn't been on the council that long, but he's really shown himself again to be moderate, business-oriented Democrat who's gotten the endorsement of fire and police and should win that easily as well. I'd say double-digit win in that race as well. It might be a little closer with Shirley Scott and Tyler Vogt, but again, Tyler Vogt sent out those same emails just like Rick Grinnell, which breaks the law. The Republicans in this whole process has had a problem with the election laws because first they can't get their petitions in the mayor's race properly. Then they get Rick Grinnell on and he sends out those emails. Tyler Vogt sends out same emails breaking the law. Jennifer Rawson breaks the law in her election stuff. Even Bruce Ash's independent committee didn't send out notice to Shirley Scott when they sent out ads that attacked her negatively and scurrilously.
Paul knows.
If you keep breaking the law, why would you want people to be running your city if you're a lawbreaker?
Paul Eckerstrom knows well that the law that he speaks of in the case of the Tucson United group was ruled unconstitutional 4 years ago by the state Supreme Court, and that certainly trumps whatever city ordinance there might be on this. As for Jonathan Rothschild, you know, you look back at the most successful, the most productive mayors in recent history, and you go back to the 1960s with Lou Davis, Jim Corbett, Lou Murphy. You know, it doesn't make a difference whether they're Republican or Democrats. You know, you have both that I've just talked about. These were people who understood how to use the bully pulpit of the mayor's position. These are people who rallied support of local business people as well as citizens. They used the media, even though the media was not nearly as sophisticated as it is today. And I will not, you know, Jonathan Rothschild is a close personal friend of mine. I make no
Then why did you attack him in all those ads, Bruce, that you put out?
Stop that. Because I had nothing to do with any ad that showed a personal attack on Jonathan Rothschild, and you know that. And
but
stop saying those things.
But he's a personal friend of yours.
I've known Jonathan for 35 years. My father and Lowell Rothschild, his father, have been friends since 1948 at the University of Arizona. I think the world of Jonathan Rothschild. What I question is, if Jonathan is successful, will he be able to be that kind of mayor that Lou Murphy, Jim Corbett, and Lou Davis were in this town, the people who really knew how to move a community. And that's what I question in terms of his overall leadership abilities.
My answer is an emphatic yes, because he bridges the gulf between the business community in this area and other Democratic constituent groups in this area, including environmentalists. Jonathan can make that happen because he is a business person. He does business law. He ran his business practice as the managing partner, which means he does all the books. And this guy understands business. So I think the answer is an emphatic yes.
Okay, we're going to leave the city elections here at 12:17. We'll be talking about redistricting on the Political Face-Off. Of course, you can hear Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom tomorrow night on the KVOI Election Night coverage show, which will be hosted by my colleague here at KVOI, John C. Scott. We've got redistricting coming up now on the Political Face-Off. That's next as we continue on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Spiro Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Spiro Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Spiro Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at spiroamoripizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastropub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Well, 20 on the Buckmaster Show. Reminder, the Monday political face-off on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors. We've got a fantastic selection of mirrors over there. Art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is located next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom with us here on the Monday Political Face-Off. Also want to mention that along with John C. Scott hosting our KVOI election night coverage tomorrow night, another from the KVOI family of talk show hosts, Emil Franzi, will also be co-hosting that election night program with John C. Now, we've talked a little bit about the elections. The other big issue, redistricting. A state nominating panel is scheduled to meet this afternoon to consider how it will replace the fired chair of the Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission, Colleen Mathis. And we have a question from one of our Buckmaster Show listeners, and he said it would be fine to use his name. It's from John Ralston, and it's for Bruce Ash. Bruce, on several occasions on this program, you have accused the Pima Democratic Party of, quote, machine politics. Isn't the removal of Chairwoman Mathis an example of Republican machine politics?
John, thanks for the question. I appreciate it. I think that, in fact, it really is anti any machine. The members in the state Senate had actually wanted to impeach the two Democrat commissioners as well as the independent. This is a matter where the governor has discretion, and she has used that discretion after the investigation that has revealed potential open meeting law problems and other issues as well. There's no question that the Democrats and the not-so-independent chairman of this committee gamed the commission and its results, and we're now going in another direction, and it has nothing to do at all with machine politics. I would say Republicans are fairly well divided between whether Mathis had to go, her and the Democrats had to go, or a referral of the entire matter to the voters during the presidential preference election in February.
John Ralston submitted that question. What do you think of that, Paul Eckerstrom?
I think it was a blatant political power play. The Republicans couldn't abide the fact that some of the congressional seats, 3 out of the 9, were going to be competitive. I don't know what they're afraid of in terms of why they think competition is a bad idea. One of the problems we've had in this state, it's gotten very ideologically to the right in the Arizona legislature. You can see it on their education policies and things of that nature. And that's happened in the last decade because the last redistricting commission only had 5 of the 30 legislative districts as competitive. And what that meant was that the really ideologically driven primary voters took out all the moderate Republicans in the last decade. Pete Hershberger, Tony Helen are just a couple of examples throughout this decade. And now if you get a competitive district, it doesn't mean it's going to become a Democrat. A Democratic district. It means that the Republicans would have to start putting moderate people up again to win in the general election, people that independents like. Independents, by the way, make up a third of the state, and really what they're doing is a power play to make sure one third of the state registered voters, Republicans, control everything. That's what this is all about. And the fact is that Bruce mentioned the fact that there was some sort of investigation being done by Tom Horn, the Republican Attorney General, who violated 2 major ethical rules in that investigation and got it wrong altogether. He actually was using state statutes on open meeting laws to attack Colleen Mathis. But in actuality, that body has got legislative immunity, and it has its own set under the Constitution and the initiative that passed by the voters in 2000 to establish this, its own open meeting laws, which were not violated. But the Republicans are using it as a pretext to take out Colleen Mathis because she's from Tucson, for one, and the Phoenix people can't stand that there's a majority of Tucsonans on that commission. And two, because she has the gall to actually kind of promote competitive districts. Frankly, so independents would have a better voice in the general election. Granted, independents can vote in primaries, but they don't like voting in primaries because, guess why? Because they left the parties for a reason, and now you don't want to participate in it. So if we want to have a more moderate legislature, we need competitive districts. And that's why Jan Brewer and the right-wingers in that legislature, and every single one of them voted in the Senate to get rid of Colleen Mathis. Let's make that very clear. They weren't split on anything. And the plain fact of the matter is they know that they're so far to the right that they could lose in their own primaries if they had a competitive district.
What do you think? What are you hearing, Bruce Ash?
The Democrats are guilty of packing and stacking in this redistricting process. All of the power in this commission is rested within one person. That probably was a fundamental error in the original Prop 106 resolution that we passed. The Democrats haven't even been honest in the areas where they tried to protect minority members of the Arizona State Legislature. And I'll give you a very, very graphic example. Steve Montenegro is a Hispanic member of the Republican caucus from the Glendale area. The lines that the district that he was in this past several years was a very Republican district. This commission literally took the line up north, right before the street where he lives on. They make a 90-degree move to the east. They take another 90-degree move to the north. As soon as they get past his home, they make another 90-degree move to the west and carve him in now in a 15-point Democrat district. If this commission was so concerned about protecting minority rights, then why are so many Hispanics not very happy about the outcome of this? And frankly, from the standpoint of just us here in Pima County and all of us voters here in the area south of the Gila, we really took a hell of a shellacking. And I think that potentially we find ourselves in Congress with the risk that as time goes on, maybe only one congressperson that is truly from southern Arizona, and for Republicans, nearly 230,000 of us, probably not with a Republican representing us in Congress.
That's not really true. The initial congressional
map. Well, it's all speculation, so yeah. There's nothing true or not true. But that's my take on what happened from the redistricting process.
Look, southern Arizona is actually coming out of this pretty well because in the legislative—
How can you say that? We've lost representation. And the center of focus in CD1 is out of Coconino County, and in Raul Grijalva's district, potentially that focus could come out of Maricopa County.
I, Yeah, but it was a lot worse in the initial maps that came out. That the Republicans supported, by the way. And now it centers it in Tucson. And the second thing is Gabby Giffords' district is still going to be Southern Arizona, so that keeps us with two. And we were going to lose a lot of power at the legislature, but in fact, we are keeping four solid Southern Arizona legislative districts, and we'll have a say in two others that we weren't necessarily going to have before. But let's put all that aside. The plain fact of the matter is that this is these people are volunteers. They don't get paid, and to do what Jan Brewer did to a person who was a moderate independent, who was a Republican, used to be registered Republican, is frankly outrageous. Hope the voters say no to what the Republicans did by voting him out of office next time.
That'll be their choice.
The Monday Political Face-Off, thank you very much. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, both of you will be here tomorrow night for the KVOI election night coverage.
That'll be Monday. Fun.
Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging service and hanging systems, Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor, is waiting in the wings. He will be with me in studio as we continue with the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show on KVOI The Voice.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Pennsylvania Attorney General says Penn State football coach Joe Paterno is not a target in the investigation of possible sexual abuse by one of his former assistants. Child sexual abuse charges have been filed against former defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky. Two Penn State administrators also face charges of perjury and failure to report abuse. Activists in Syria say more than 110 people have been reported killed in the past week in the country's third largest city. The anti-government protest crackdown goes on. The Supreme Court has heard arguments in the case of a 9-year-old boy born in Jerusalem who wants the U.S. passport to list the place of his birth as Israel. U.S. policy will not allow that. More details at srnnews.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Well, 34 on the Buckmaster Show. Don't the Catalinas look beautiful with that dusting of snow? What a really, really lovely morning. I never complain about the rain, unless, of course, it's one of the big monsoon storms that washes out the Buckmaster driveway, and I have to call Pima County to come out and try to help me out a little bit. How do you like that, Richard Elias, for a segue to get the county involved here? Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias joining us on the Buckmaster Show.
I'm sure all the county employees who work up on Mount Lemon are concerned about the snow, too.
They are really. You heard Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, our discussion about redistricting. You are the co-chair of the Hispanic Coalition for Good Government, and you had a say in some of these maps, right, for the redistricting?
Yeah, we did submit maps to the Independent Redistricting Commission, and we did testify at a number of different meetings during their the whole summer, actually. From our perspective, we would consider a few tweaks to the congressional maps down here in southern Arizona good moves. But on the whole, I think they did a pretty fair job of creating maps that are legal and are going to pass muster with the Justice Department. And I think it's a terrible travesty what the governor has done with the chair, and really – it's a very unveiled attempt to take redistricting back into the most political venue of all, and that's the state legislature.
So you would – it sounds like you would possibly disagree with Bruce Ash, who says that Hispanics generally are not happy with the redistricting maps.
Yes, I would take issue with that. I don't think most Latino voters have a problem with the maps that were created. We did do a good job of protecting the districts that are under review by the Voting Rights Act, Section 5. And I think that the work that we've done here in Arizona has been good. Redistricting is not supposed to be about an individual and an individual candidate. It's supposed to be about the welfare of everyone. Competitive districts are only one perspective to look at in redistricting. And so the questions about packing and all of that are appropriate. But I think removing Ms. Mathis without any kind of evidence against her is probably not the wisest thing we've ever done. Again, like I said, a veiled attempt to take us back to the years when it was really just political decisions made by people in the legislature about what our maps are going to look like.
Richard Elias is with us, Pima County Supervisor. You and your colleagues tomorrow have a rather hot potato on your hand. Anyone who picked up the Arizona Daily Star this morning saw Becky Palick's report on hand-washing facilities may be required at festivals with food. And you can't say that we don't have – that this wouldn't affect a lot of people because – Richard, as you know, our community is really blessed with having so many cultural festivals. But this, if the board goes along with the Pima County Health Department recommendation, this could have a big impact on the festivals.
It will cause changes to happen. Unfortunately, some of those changes are unintended consequences. which is typical of any kind of legislative action that a government body takes. So I plan to listen to the discussion tomorrow and try and understand what is the best way to vote on this, because I'm not really sure at this particular juncture. I mean, so many of our small community festivals come in and ask for the fees for health department permits to be waived or other kinds of things to help them be successful. And then sometimes big, huge groups that have tremendous power in the community come in and ask for the same thing because they're providing a really great service to us all. But at the same time, we don't want people getting sick from the food that's served, so our inspectors need to go in there. Same with hand washing. It is important. There's no doubt about it that it makes a difference in how we pass along colds and flus and other more serious illness. So it is a balance that we have to achieve in order to create something that's fair. And I think maybe the public needs to vet this out for a little bit longer. They really haven't had a chance to weigh in on this. So many of those folks who have those smaller church festivals, as well as the folks at Tucson Meet Yourself, obviously Mia commented in this morning's article.
Yeah, our friend Mia Hansen, executive director of Tucson Meet Yourself, quoting Mia, it's already a crapshoot to figure out how many porta-potties to have. And Mia is also a board member of Festival and Events Association of Tucson and Southern Arizona, so she's speaking for really several of the events. You've got the Pima County Fair would be affected. So there's a lot at stake here. But what you're saying is a lot of people probably read this for the first time this morning in the paper. This is the first I'd heard about it, and I'm sure I'm not alone. A lot of people, maybe there needs to be a little more time before a vote comes down tomorrow from you and your colleagues.
Yes. It's a code text amendment, so there'll be some time in addition to the vote tomorrow. But I think we all need to weigh in on this forcefully and thoughtfully.
Okay, the Buckmaster Show live line, that number is 790-2040. Mike is with us, and he has suggestions for Richard Elias and his colleagues for tomorrow's meeting. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you for taking my call. Richard, I'm wondering if you go to question the health department on this, if you could suggest to them that maybe just a hand sanitizer would be enough at each station that serves the food rather than having to set up washing stations.
I think that is one of the options available, Mike, in the discussion surrounding the hand washing ordinance. But again, we do want to make sure that we do the right thing for folks. So a mixture of the two, hand washing facilities and sanitizers, is what we always kind of look for in terms of helping to keep people clean so that they can be healthy. But I would agree with you. Sanitizers are really the more logical answer in most situations.
And, of course, there are pros and cons, Richard Elias, on those hand sanitizer product. Some people love them, some people hate them, whatever. I don't know really. I don't know enough about it. But Mike brings up a good point.
I do try and use them, though, religiously when I am in the hospital and they ask us to use them.
Right.
And I think it's important that we do because hand washing is really the way most common colds and illnesses are passed along from person to person.
Speaking of a hot potato, Rosemont. I was getting ready to board an airplane on Thursday morning out at Tucson International Airport. I always try to fly TIA, and it's not because they recently joined the Buckmaster Show as a sponsor. I believe in staying local, Richard Elias, but put a little plug in there for TIA. But anyway,
I applaud you for that, Bill.
Getting ready to board an airplane and reading the Arizona Daily Star, and I saw your op-ed piece, Negatives Far Outweigh Questionable Positives on Rosemont Mine. One of our main newsmaker guest on our Friday Focus interview that Tom Collier was interviewing in my absence was Mike Varney, who is the president of the Tucson Chamber. And he would take, of course, the opposite view, saying positives far outweigh the negatives. One thing is for certain, I looked at the number of comments to your op-ed piece, and I think it was pushing like 200 comments. And I think it shows this is still a raw issue in this community, and people are still pretty much evenly divided on it.
Right. The comments that I saw were pretty evenly divided as well. There was a whole lot of different folks putting out there a whole lot of different ideas, and I think it's healthy that we talk about this, especially now while the EIS is out for public comment. It's particularly important for people with strong feelings either way, or just feelings of concern, to get out there and let their voice be heard, either in writing or at the hearings themselves. This is critical for all of us to understand what is going to happen to our community into the future. Mining is serious business. It's messy business. We all know that. We've had mines here in southern Arizona for a long, long period of time that have been an important part of our economy. But Rosemont is the wrong mine at the wrong place. And it's unfortunate because right now we have a tremendous need for jobs, which I'm sensitive to. And I think it's very important. But I'll tell you what. That 1.6 million pounds of fugitive dust particles looms large to all of us. The kind of poisons and chemicals that are now going to be released into the Sanyega watershed and eventually make their way all the way down to the Santa Cruz River is very serious for all of us. The aesthetic question is serious. The cultural resource question people seem to blow off completely. I suggest they should talk to Ned Norris. He has some very serious concerns about the antiquities that will be destroyed there.
Dr. Ned Norris is the chair of the Tohono O'odham Nation.
Absolutely, and a fine gentleman and a very scholarly man. But the concerns about cultural resources are real and important to us all, too. Jobs are important to us as well. But at the expense of our community's health, at the expense of our community's economic outlook into the future, tourism, public safety, as well as overall health expenses are going to be impacted by the decision that the Forest Service makes.
We'll pick up the Rosemont discussion after a break. But actually, Rose, I think we'll go ahead and take Shelton's call. Shelton is on the Buckmaster Show live line. He wanted to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball and spring training. Shelton, you're on with Richard Elias. Go ahead.
Where I live in Mr. Elias's supervisory ward, and so I'm at least one constituent of his who's concerned about the lack of Major League spring training at Keno Stadium, despite the phenomenal statistics from the Cactus League when the Diamondbacks and White Sox were located at the then Tucson Electric Park. And I think if we could have a public forum, actually, on the issue, people could step up and testify one way or the other. But in place, we have an emphasis on getting some games for Major League spring training soccer, and now the college all-star in the turf that was really never designed other than for baseball, pro
right.
baseball, and when I also I think there's some fault in trying to emphasize soccer. And one reason to an excuse of sorts is that, well, Major League Baseball, the commissioner's office doesn't want to comment.
Okay, Shelton, we're going to take the comment here from Richard Elias. Mr. Huckleberry, the Pima County Administrator, released a 20-page update on the Keno Stadium recently, saying the revenue may never equal that of Major League spring training, but the stadium is becoming less reliant on taxpayer dollars, and the venue is fully booked through January through April. But that doesn't really address Shelton's concern. Shelton misses Major League Baseball.
I miss Major League Baseball as well, Shelton. I'm a baseball fan, and I know we've talked about this before, and I really appreciate you sticking with the issue. And I'm proud of you for doing that. Unfortunately, it's kind of like real estate. If you have an unwilling seller, you can't buy that property. And Major League Baseball does not want to be in Tucson right now.
They don't want to buy the property here in Tucson right now.
And so that being the case, I don't see how we can force them to.
No. Coming up on 12:48, we need to take a break, and we want to take a break because we want you to support the people that support this program. Here are the Buckmaster Show sponsors. Stay with us. Richard Elias will be with me till 1 o'clock today.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Well, 52 on the Buckmaster Show. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, the most powerful news talk station in Southern Arizona. Our Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. And of course, there are many places, the list keeps growing, of where you can hear the Buckmaster Show 24/7 on demand, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and our latest agreement with our friends at tucsoncitizen.com. So program becoming more and more available, a big reach for the Buckmaster Show. Richard Elias is with me in studio, Pima County Supervisor. Richard, so far we've been talking about spring training, we've been talking about redistricting, your op-ed piece on Rosemont. You were talking about jobs. And speaking of jobs, what about a bond election that would open the door to jobs?
Well, in doing the analysis to take a look at what was the effect of the 2004 bond election and 2006 bond election on jobs, I think you start to see some pretty remarkable numbers. Is it difficult to ask the voters to create more debt for a government to pay during a difficult time for business? Yes. But is it perhaps the smart thing to do? Well, when you take a look at the fact that since 2006, we have spent $794 million on construction projects here in Pima County, creating 12,000 jobs. That's really an amazing figure. And I think if those jobs had not been created, think of the difficult times we would really be in. So we have work that needs to be completed. We have projects that need to happen. We understand that some of those projects can help create economic development. But at the same time, I think we need to use a modicum of care in making sure that we don't overdo it and that we recognize that the ballot next year is going to be huge. And questioning people with ballot with questions about bonds takes time. So we're going to have to weigh those things out over the next couple months and continue to do research together with the county administration to find out what are the true figures and what we are doing by passing bonds and how we can best help people create the work that people need while completing necessary projects and contributing to the private sector being able to hire more people, because that's where that money gets spent. That's where those jobs are created. They're, in fact, not government jobs, but jobs that are funded by government taxes. And that's your money, folks. It's so important to us that we do that efficiently. But again, we need to be careful in making our choice about this election next year.
And, of course, the cost of borrowing money is down with historically low interest rates available. That perhaps could weigh in the decision.
Well, there's two features there, Bill. Yes, the cost of money is down. So now is the right time to borrow money at an affordable rate. And at the same time, construction bids are down. They're currently at about 85% of what an engineer's estimates are for the projects we've been putting out to bid this year. That's a big change from 2 years ago when those bids were at 53% of what an engineer's estimate were.
So a bigger bang for the buck.
Right. As the market improves, that number's going to go up closer to 100%. We want a bigger bang for our buck. But we also want to make sure that we're being fair with our local business people and not taking advantage of them in a very difficult situation. We need to put people to work under that very complicated scenario.
Now, the bond elections, it used to be they would hold them, or you could hold them, or anybody, a government entity could hold them in off-year elections, but they changed that, right? So now they have to be in the even-year election.
Right. The legislature did pass a bill last year changing that.
So they get lost in a way if there's a huge ballot.
They do get lost, and people tend to vote no when they're overwhelmed. They just automatically vote no rather than
reading through. If you're at the back of the ballot there and you're kind of running out of time, I'll just say no.
Well, and the lines can be long if you're at the polls, and it can be uncomfortable. I saw that happen at my polling place in the last election. So you do want to measure all those things carefully. I wish the legislature would reconsider that kind of stuff and start to understand what their role in local control really is.
Pima County Board of Supervisors approved a $3 million contract recently with the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. A year ago, Richard Elias, you and your colleagues were threatening to withhold funds from that agency because the supervisors couldn't get some answers to financial questions. I guess you are a little more confident in getting those answers.
Well, the new president of their board, Lynn Erickson, has done a good job, I think, together with Jonathan, of getting things cleaned up over there so that we feel more confident about it. What I've told them repeatedly and what I will continue to say is that when you have a sole source contract and you're receiving public dollars, you not only have to be accountable, you have a higher level of accountability than anyone else to make sure that you're doing things above board. I don't think that they were misusing money, but they failed miserably in being accountable for the dollars that they were spending in a higher manner, in one that someone who has a sole source contract needs to be.
And I know you were quoted in the Star article saying the contract and the planned improvements will help keep things moving, because let's face it, tourism is, of course, one of our lifebloods here in Southern Arizona.
I think it is one of the most important industries, and I think that we are putting it at risk by not helping the Visitors Bureau, and I think the discussion about Rosemont needs to include the question of tourism as well, because frankly there's an aesthetic question surrounding that, and the questions about air quality are going to deeply impact tourism as well. So it's all interconnected.
Richard Elias, thank you very much for sitting down with us for a half an hour on the Buckmaster Show. Hope you have a great afternoon, and good luck at tomorrow's Pima County Supervisors Board meeting.
Thank you very much, Bill, and I see your picture all over the place, and I hear your voice everywhere, and I'm glad that we have you with us.
Thank you so much. We continue to try to make the program available to as many listeners as possible. Thanks, Richard. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associate Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. We like Mike Flowers, great CPA, good friend of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it for the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow's election day. Stay with KVOI, the election night show, tomorrow night. And of course, we'll be back at noon. Have a great day.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.